Hello and welcome to Debate here at Press TV. So far this year, 345 people have been killed by U.S. police. That includes all colors and some who were armed and others who were not. Statistically, however, black Americans have the highest chance of being killed by police. And what many in the black community say is that if a cop kills a black man, he will never be tried. That may not be true all the time, but the majority of the time, it is true that a police won't be charged nor serve time for killing a black man or woman.
No justice!
No peace!
No justice!
No peace!
No justice!
No peace!
Demonstrators protesting police brutality against people of color. This is actually becoming a familiar scene on American streets. This time, it was in the Crown Heights neighborhood of Brooklyn, where Saeed Vassal was shot 10 times by 5 officers. Police cornered Vassal, who was known to be mentally ill, after receiving reports that he was carrying a gun. After the shooting, it turned out that he was holding a metal pipe. Witnesses say the officers gave no warning before opening fire.
They didn't say freeze, they didn't say put your hands up, they didn't say stop, look for a minute, nothing. They started shooting.
The shooting has drawn anger among people. Demonstrators believe the U.S. police target people of color deliberately.
You know, as we've seen in this country multiple times, the police, whether it's NYPD, the LAPD, police precincts around the country, are murdering black men, black people, people of color. So any way that I can support, I try to do that.
The death of 34-year-old Vassal comes after the police killing of an unarmed black man in Sacramento on March 18. Police said they believed Stephen Clark was pointing a gun at them, but it was actually just a cell phone. Many say police brutality towards people of color is becoming epidemic across the U.S.
Well, I think the reason that there hasn't been any real justice for the vast majority, almost all the victims of police killings, is because the politicians feel that they can't get elected unless they bow down to the police forces, to the police and the prison guards. And this is an epidemic in the United States.
A recent report suggested that over 1,000 people were killed by U.S. police in 2017. Nearly a quarter of the victims were African Americans, although the black community accounts for roughly 12% of the total U.S. population. Just last year, there were several cases of police shooting black civilians that ended with officers walking free out of courts. That raises questions whether the U.S. legal system is really willing to punish officers involved in such shootings. Rights activists say the disproportionate number of black Americans killed is part of a broader pattern of racial discrimination in the country. Even President Donald Trump has endorsed a police behavior that fueled more racial tensions. With such approaches, it seems the killing of black people by the law enforcement continues to be a matter of national concern.
I'd like to welcome my guest to the program, Chairperson, National Black Agenda Consortium, Dr. Gail Frazier out of Chicago, and American Institute of Foreign Policy, Mr. Michael Lane out of Washington, D.C. Thank you both for being with us. Let me start this off in D.C. And Michael Lane, do you think that the high rate of police killings of black people, especially black men, reflects an overall discriminatory policy as far as the U.S. system, especially when we look at the judiciary, or not?
The simple and complicated answer to that question is we don't know. There simply are not enough statistics. There's not enough credible studies. The studies that do exist are contradictory against each other. There has not been a gigantic mammoth study with credibility that's been done on this issue. What we have is anecdotal evidence, and we have statistics, which we haven't been able to massage into an academic analysis as to why these things are happening. We do know that that there are a number of high-profile killings by police of black suspects in the last several years, since Black Lives Matter came to life and began to be funded by George Soros, that have been able to get the country and the international press focused on this particular issue. What we don't have is any studies, any statistical conclusions, anything that will lead us to believe that this is a systematic since systemic issue in the United States. We do know that that whites are killed by police by some 200 to 300% more than blacks are. We know that whites are killed in proportion less to their proportion in the population, and blacks are killed more than their proportion to the population. But when you hold that against involvement in violent crime, the statistics tend to even out, which leads us to believe that maybe this is not a racial thing, but more of an economic thing. But
no.
Back to the simple answer, we just don't know the answer to your question.
All right. What about that, Dr. Gail Frazier? We just don't know the answer that if this is systemic, this discrimination that many would call it against black people by police, our guest in D.C. says that there is no proof that it is discriminatory. Your take.
Well, you know, the thing is that we look at the historical record, and we've seen over the years, not over the years, over the centuries, how many times black males in particular had been targeted in these particular areas. And as a result of that, they would become violated through death. And these shootings and the brutality that's been going on, this is something that's been systemic. And so in order to say that it's not real, then that's a problem for me, because history records the data, and the data reveals exactly what the situation is.
All right, Michael Lane, how is it that time and again, and we have even had situations filmed, like what happened to Eric Garner in New York? The man was shown to have been killed by police while saying he couldn't breathe, and police had a chokehold on him, and yet nothing happened to the police. Police was not charged, and the irony of that case, of course, is that the photographer, the person who actually filmed what happened, actually was jailed. Your take on that?
Well, let me say that I agree with my colleague that the history shows us that this is a long-standing problem in the United States going way, way back. But that doesn't mean that it's a current problem in the United States today. We need to, you know, our discussion now is what we do about a situation that we don't know if it actually exists in the United States in 2018. And by studying records from, you know, the 1950s, the 1850s, and the 1750s, it's not particularly instructive as to what we find today.
Well, Michael Lane, let me just jump in here. Michael Lane, you said that it's not particularly...
Sure.
It's not helpful if we look at the 50s or history. Well, let's not look at history. Let's look at the last few years or currently. When we see the difference between, for example, we look at how a white suspect is treated and a black suspect is treated. Of course, not 100% of the time we're talking, but a lot of the time. We see someone like Dylan Roof, who, of course, killed 9 worshipers last year or the year before, and we saw that actually he was hungry and police actually went and got Burger King for him so he could eat. Whereas we look at situations, we have Tamir Rice, a 12-year-old black boy who was playing in the park with a toy gun. Immediately when the cops arrive, they killed him. So we see this almost on a daily basis, unfortunately, or at least weekly. Don't you think there is a difference between many times the way cops handle white suspects and black suspects?
Well, of course, we don't have any particular examples of white suspects to compare this to. We do know, as I mentioned in my first answer, that whites are killed at somewhere between 200 and 300% more times in altercations with police than black suspects are. But yet we don't have the videotapes, we don't have the press releases, we don't have the public relations organizations behind pressing this whole thing. So the answer is, comparing those, we really don't know the answer to that. But there have been several high-profile killing of black suspects, which I find very, very problematic. And I think you mentioned Tamir Rice. That was one of the ones that I was just shocked and don't understand how that happened. You know, I mean, I saw it unfold on the videotape, but nonetheless, you know, why did the cops pull up so close to the whole thing that they couldn't assess the situation and figure it out before they fired on somebody that they thought was armed? So that's one example. But there are other examples that are so high profile that are being used by the Black Lives Matter movement that don't do their cause any justice, I don't think. You've got the Freddie Brown case in Baltimore, where the whole accusation was that it was white people trying to kill this poor suspect, when the other suspect in the back of the van testified to the fact that exactly was not the case. You've got the Michael Brown situation in Ferguson, where I'm not saying Michael Brown got what he deserved. Nobody really deserves to die, but he certainly got what he asked for. When you start a violent confrontation with a policeman and try and take his weapon away from him, you can't be surprised when you wind up being on the wrong end of happens there.
Let me cross back over to Chicago. Dr. Frazier, let me get you back in on this. Your take on the comments out of D.C.
Well, the thing is that we have to all acknowledge that this is a terrible blight on this country, and nobody would want to own up to what's actually happening here in this country. And so as a result of that, we, and I'm not saying we, but overall individuals, especially those who are proponents of this system of violence, this is a pandemic in this country. And as a result of it being a pandemic in this country, no one wants to own up to that. So I can understand this caller would not want to acknowledge the fact that, yeah, it actually exists, and yes, it is for real. The reality is that it's no way that you can mitigate any of these things without it first acknowledging that it's true. And so what has been the problem here in this country is that it's always been skirted around. And as a result of it being skirted around, this particular issue, you have all of the different powers that be that try to negate that, yes, it's a reality. Now, the problem is that people have become to the point where they have become more violent, because when they realize that justice is not being meted out properly, people take the law into their own hands. And we have to also look at this as a serious, serious issue, because it's only escalating. And so until righteousness is brought up as a major factor in dealing with this situation, you're going to continue to have an escalation of violence. When children get killed, when mentally ill people get killed, and then you have situations where they told us that police officers have tasers, but now you see the shoot to kill mentality is in full manifestation. It's a serious, serious issue. And within the circles that I travel and the individuals that I speak to, people are very frustrated. So it would behoove everybody involved to sit at the table and deal with this racially charged issue that's been adversely impacting our young men and now our young women.
Well, Michael Lane, what about that? Do you think that the country, the United States, is racist at all? Or you don't see it, basically, as a country that discriminates based on color?
No, I think we have a horrible record of discrimination. Our history is black and ugly on that. And we've done a lot of what we are trying to do in the last 50, 60 years, 70 years, to erase and to mitigate and to compensate for that particular atmosphere, behavior, everything in the United States. But that's not, the history doesn't necessarily mean that's where we are today.
Where do you think that?
I will be the first.
Where do you think that the United States is today, Michael Lane?
I think we're about, 80% recovered from where we were. I think there's still discrimination. I think there's still racism. I think it's still a problem in the United States, but it's nowhere near what it used to be. And we continue to endeavor to make ourselves a better country, to form what our founders called a more perfect union. But I don't know that this particular issue that we're talking today is illustrative of the overall problem. Again, in the very beginning, I cited the fact that this may not be a racial issue, but it may be an economic issue, because that's the particular statistic that seems to overlay best on the subject that we're talking about. And so the legacy of racism and the fact that many African Americans and other minorities in the United States are less well off, are born disadvantaged into bad situations, seems to me to be more the explanation for what we're experiencing than the color of their skin is.
Well, when you talk about the economic situation, staying with you, Michael Lang, when you're talking about the economic situation and we look at statistics and dealing with that, and if Black Americans are not as privy to economic privilege, so let's talk about your side of things. Isn't that itself endemic of a country that is extremely racist?
Well, it's a legacy of racism. I have stipulated that, and I'll again stipulate that I said that racism still exists, although nowhere near as much as it
you
or
said
in the same kinds of forms
had
that it
been
did
tackled, basically.
60 years ago.
Okay, 80% you said, though, had been
you know, I don't know. I used 80%, but I don't know if that's the right number or not. I think we've made substantial, gigantic progress, and we're continuing to make progress, and hopefully someday we'll get to Martin Luther's vision of a colorblind society where people are judged on the content of their character and not the color of their skin.
All right, Dr. Frazier, many Black Americans say they can be killed by police while driving, while walking, while eating, while sleeping, while trying to get help, while getting married, while using a cell phone, while being a child, etc. I'm saying all of these examples because all of them have happened. These are real examples, real circumstances of what have happened, and that police have not been charged, and they have killed people in all of these situations. Your take on this analysis, this situation, and also what our guest in D.C. has said.
Well, you know, I don't even want to laugh at something like this because I think it's ludicrous. The reason why I say it's ludicrous because certainly 80% of a deliverance from racism when the country has been founded on white supremacy racism, when the country has been founded on the forefathers saying that the black people are three-fifths human, when everything is embedded and imbued in racism, racist teaching practices where individuals are not learning their historical content. You're talking about in the workplace, you're talking about economics in terms of being able to work. You're talking about individuals who are coming out of prison. You're talking about a whole mirage, a barrage of things that have occurred that continue to occur, and the only thing that we have that's supposed to be a compromise is we shall overcome. So the situation now is we have to deal with and pull the covers back off of this because it's real. When you have to live it on a daily basis. Now, I can say I'm grateful that, you know, the majority of the police officers that I've come in contact with, they've been decent and civil. So I certainly would not try to put a blight on all of the police officers. But the reality is that there are sufficient numbers who are to the core blatantly racist, and they go all the way back to slavery when they were considered slave catchers. Now, the reality in this is that we don't forget these things. While we are, and we try to be a peaceful people, for the most part, individuals are tired of being oppressed, depressed, possessed, dispossessed, and all of the things that happen simply because of the color of their skin. And so while they say that economics play a key role in it, even if a person is poor, even if a person is well-to-do, they are still subjected to a lot of the things that this caller is saying does not happen. So we have to at least get to the point where we can tell the truth. We can't even have a decent conversation if we can't toe the line and say this is the way it is. This is a very racist country, and it has been so since its inception when it pertains to Black America. So, you know, that's pretty much all I have to say. I think that that clearly typifies exactly what's going on and what has been going on.
Okay, well, Michael Lang, what about it? We see, it seems, more and more that police are shooting live ammunition, live bullets. I mean, they have tasers. In other countries, they try to talk to individuals who they are coming across, or even perhaps shooting them in the leg, foot, hand. But we see the barrage of bullets just as if they're on attack mode, as if it's a military force that's occupying communities. What's going on? Why do we see police, and of course, again, not all police, but it happens often enough. Why do we see this in this way?
Well, there is a slight uptick in the number of police shootings of suspects, but it's not gargantuan. not historically, but in recent history, the average number of police shootings of suspects was in the 800 range. And most recently, in the last 5 to 10 years, we find that that's in the 900 to 1,000 range. So it's certainly increasing, but it's increasing exactly proportional in regards to white suspects versus black suspects versus other suspects. There's no indication that there's a higher percentage of black suspects being shot. And there's a study out of St. Louis. Again, it's not big enough. It's not conclusive, but there's a study out of St. Louis that indicates two things. Number one, that white police officers are more hesitant to shoot at black suspects than they are at white suspects. And the other conclusion of that study is that black officers are equally as likely to shoot at black suspects as white police officers are. And these are the facts, and there are no studies that contradict that.
All right, let me get Dr. Frazier back in on this. We're almost out of time. Your response, basically, to our other guests, and also what needs to be done to turn all of this around?
Well, you know, my position is that justification, or to say, well, there are X amount of whites killed as opposed to X, I think that that's not even anything to factor in. What we have to look in is the fact that, yes, this has been a problem for black people since the inception and the transplantation from Africa. And so this is why the severity of the whole issue is because it's never been rectified. This is the reason why you have the individuals on the reparations page. This is the reason why you talk about restitution. This is the reason why you talk about having reparations just like the Jews had for the Holocaust. All of these things happen because it's systemic and it continues. When you have sustained oppression, when you have sustained racism, and you have to live it every day, when you have to wake up and go to sleep with it, then it's not something that you can minimize and say, it's not as serious as it was in the past. Our past has never ended. We're continuing to live in this past.
All right, so reparations are the key. Thank you so much. So sorry we're out of time. I'd love to do this another time and look at it again. Chairperson, National Black Agenda Consortium, Dr. Gail Frazier out of Chicago, and from the American Institute for Foreign Policy, Mr. Michael Lane out of Washington, D.C. And as always, viewers, we appreciate you being with us on another debate. I'm Marzia Hashimi, signing off for myself and all the crew. Goodbye.